So the thieves on the cross. In John 19, verse 18, it says, "Where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst." But when I look at the Greek, if I was going to translate this, it would literally read, "other two with him, here and there." Meaning on this side and on that side. So other two with him on this side and on that side. Now, here we come to the problem that people always have with the thieves, which is the reviling of the thieves. And that is, did both of them revile the Lord Jesus Christ, or did just one? Because, of course, it depends on which gospel you look at. Now, if we look at the Gospel of Matthew, and chapter 27, and verse 35, which is where the crucifixion takes place, it says, "And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, 'They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots.'" So they crucified him, they parted his garments. "And sitting down, they watched him there." That would be the soldiers after they finished their gambling. "And set up over his head his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" And it says, "And then," notice that, "then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left." So, notice the order there. He is crucified, his garments are parted, his accusation is put up, then two thieves are crucified with him. So they are crucified later, in other words. Then, verses 39 through 44, "Those who passed by reviled him, wagging their heads." We have their revilings. And verse 44, "The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth." So it says, the thieves cast the same kind of revilings in his teeth. Now, Mark chapter 15, same events. Mark chapter 15, starting in verse 24. Mark 15, 24, it says, "And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take." The same order, crucified, parting garments. "And it was the third hour, and they crucified him." Again, that means 9 o'clock, the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning or so. It says, "And the superscription of his accusation was written over, 'The King of the Jews.'" So then it mentions the accusation. So crucified, garments split, accusation. Verse 27, "And with him they crucify two thieves, the one on his right hand, and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.'" So thieves are crucified with him. "They that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads." So we have the accusations of those passing by. Then verse 32, "Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him." So Mark pretty much looks exactly the same. Says the same thing we had in Matthew. Same order of events. The same thing. Now let's look at Luke. Luke chapter 23. And verse 32. Luke 23, 32. It says, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death." Now, here is seeming a little bit different detail, isn't it? Because in Matthew we had, he was crucified, his garments were parted, his accusation was put up, then they crucified two thieves with him. Here it says that there were two malefactors led with him to be put to death. Well, that seems a little different. Were they led with him, or were they crucified after him? And then it says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. So they crucify him and the malefactors, then they part the raiment. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him. Notice it's the rulers deriding him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers mocked him, 36 and 37. Verse 38, and a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. Then in verse 39 we have, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. So he, far from reviling the Lord, defends him. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So then he has a conversation with the Lord, asks him to remember him when he comes into his kingdom, and the Lord promises him that he will be with him in paradise. Now, this would seem to contradict what we saw in Matthew and Mark. First of all, in the order of events, and second of all, in the actions of the malefactors. Now, the explanation that's usually given by most people, I think, is that, well, they must have both mocked him at first, but then one of them got a conscience and changed his mind, turned around. Well, that could be the case, but Luke seems to give no indication of it. His indication seems to be that the one railed on him and the other defended him. And if this other one didn't rail on him, then it seems kind of libelous for Matthew and Mark to claim he did. And if he did, it's kind of strange that Luke doesn't mention it. Acts like he defended him the whole time. Well, let's turn to the book of John once again. In that verse, where they crucified him, and two other with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. Because like I said, that they crucified with him two on this side and on that side. What does that mean? Does that mean that they crucified just two with him? Or does that mean they crucified two on each side? Because two on this side and on that side could mean two on each side, not just two, period. Now, John 19 and verse 31 is also very interesting. It says, The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Now, we'll talk about this a little bit more next time when we get to this verse, what this high day, Sabbath day was all about. But basically, the next day was a feast, Sabbath day. And the Jews had not just the weekly Sabbath, but they had feast Sabbaths, Sabbaths that would move with the feast. They were like holidays. And they also had sabbatic years, a whole year that would be a Sabbath year, where the land had to lie fallow, had to lie unplanted. But the next day is a high Sabbath day. Well, there's no doubt about it. When you were hanging on a cross, you were doing a lot of work. You were hanging there in such a way that basically your lungs were pulled shut. You couldn't breathe when you're hanging there. In order to breathe, you had to push yourself up by your feet, pull yourself up by your hands in order to breathe. And that was very strenuous exercise. And of course, I'm sure very painful, pulling yourself up on nail and pushing yourself up on nails through your flesh. So you were doing a lot of work when you were on a cross. So they basically would not allow anybody to hang on a cross past the Sabbath day. Now understand, crucifixion was not a slow process. You were in a lot of pain and a lot of humiliation, hung up there publicly like that, but you were exposed to the weather, but none of that was necessarily killing you very fast. It was basically like tacking you up on a board and just leaving you there until you died, either of exposure or starvation or heat stroke or whatever. So people could survive for days on a cross. not just a few hours. That's why Pilate was so surprised when the Lord was dead after only 6 hours on the cross. It was surprising that he was dead already. But in Israel, of course, you were lucky if you got crucified before the Sabbath day, because then they would want to put you to death before the Sabbath. They wouldn't want you doing all that work up there on the cross on the Sabbath day. So what are they going to do? They're going to break their legs. Now, like I said, you needed the strength of your legs to push yourself up to breathe. So when they broke their legs, that means their arms weren't strong enough to pull themselves up to breathe, and they would suffocate to death. So death would come very quickly, however long it takes you to suffocate once they broke their legs. So by breaking their legs, they were basically putting them to death. But verse 32, it says, "Then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs." Now think about this. Here are the soldiers. They've been given the task of breaking these guys' legs. If there are three crosses there, they're in a line. We know they're in a line. We know the Lord is in the middle. Every single gospel has insisted on that the Lord was in the middle. He was absolutely in the middle. There's no doubt about it. Now, what are these soldiers going to do? Are they going to break the legs of the first guy, walk past Jesus to his other side, break the legs of the second guy, then come back to the middle to break Jesus' legs? That would be highly impractical and very unlikely. That's not the way you would do it. You would go straight down the line. That's what anybody would do, is go straight down the line. So if there were three people on crosses that day, it would make no sense for them to do what they did. Break the one, pass by the Lord like he's not there, break the other, then come back to the middle and break his legs. But if there were five crosses there that day, then it would make perfect sense. They would start at one end of the line, break one, break the next one, get to Jesus in the middle. Now, not only that, but we have the names of those who were crucified. In Matthew and Mark, we saw those thieves. Remember, it said they were crucified after Jesus, after his garments were parted, after his accusation was up, after he was crucified. They crucified two thieves with him. Well, in Greek, that's the word lestai. And it means thieves. It means robbers. And this was common in Israel at the time. Highwaymen, basically, they would hang out along the roadways, and they would waylay the unwary or the unprotected along the roads and rob and steal from them, sometimes kill them or leave them to die, like in the story of the Good Samaritan. And so thieves, these highway robbers, were common ones to be crucified. But in Luke, the ones that is translated malefactors, that's a different Greek word. Matthew and Mark, the word is the same, lestai. In Greek, in Luke, it is kakourgoi. Now, kakourgoi was not necessarily a robber. A kakourgoi was an evildoer, a criminal. And this was probably the other class of men that they tended to crucify, and those were out-and-out rebels against Rome. These bands of roving freedom fighters and patriots who would rise up and try to start rebelling against Rome. This was constantly happening in Israel in these last few decades leading up to their final rebellion, when Rome came in and wiped out Jerusalem. So these were kakourgoi, were probably these evildoers, malefactors, probably rebels against Rome. Now, of course, acts considered treasonous by Rome could be considered very patriotic by the Israelites, and many of these men probably viewed themselves as true patriots for doing what they did. Now, these men, it says, were led with Jesus to the cross and crucified with him. So they would have been the ones, of course, on the inside. If there were five crosses there, they would have crucified all three in a row. The robbers, being crucified later, one on each side, would have been crucified on the outside, further away. Now, if this was the case, of course, the malefactors and Jesus are the three in the middle. So they are close to each other and very capable of carrying on a conversation with the Lord and with each other. The robbers out on the edges are probably further away and maybe just more capable of throwing insults at him. So it makes a lot of sense, and it all fits together, if there actually were five crosses that day, not three. Suddenly, we're let off the difficulty of why do Matthew and Mark say they both railed on him, whereas Luke says only one did. Well, if there was a difference between the malefactors and the thieves, that would make perfect sense. Yes, both thieves did rail on him, and yes, only one of the malefactors railed on him, the other one didn't. It would make sense of that John, two other with him on this side and on that side, Well, that would make sense. There were two on each side. It would make sense why they would break the legs of the other two and then Jesus. Well, if there were five, they would have gotten to two before they got to Jesus in the middle. So it makes a lot of sense to me. You know, I can't prove it. I wasn't there. I didn't take any pictures. And the reality is it's very traditional to picture three. I think there are probably good reasons for that. A lot of those medieval painters, you know, if you want to paint a picturesque scene of the cross on the hill, you're going to be cluttering up your painting if you have five crosses, and it's much more artistic and well-balanced and so forth if there's only three there. So that could have a lot to do with it. And there are ancient traditions. There's an ancient chapel going back to the 7th century where it shows a crucifixion scene with five crosses, and there are ancient traditions of five crosses. Not usual. The much more usual tradition is the three. But I think it's very possible there were five crosses. Now, I'm not going to insist upon it, and obviously it has nothing to do with salvation or anything super important, whether there were five crosses or three. But I think it's a much better explanation of the difficulty of the difficulties than there being three and you having to work out somehow why they passed by Jesus and broke the other guy's legs and then came back to the middle, why Matthew and Mark say they both railed on him, whereas Luke says only one did. Open his word and see, knowing God in the word, finding truth in this broken world, knowing God in the word, finding truth in this broken world.
Christ and he'll bring us through. Only truth can set us free. Open his word and see. Knowing God in the word, finding truth in this broken world. Knowing God in the word, finding truth in this broken world. Finding truth.